Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. I look to my right, and lo and behold, it's a great one. Doug Tonis, how you doing, brother?
I'm living the dream, Fred. Living the dream. I'm trying to pull up your photo for today's show that you just told me about. Oh man,
all the prep.
Yeah,
wow. Thanks a lot for getting ready.
Yeah, no, I'm all set. I mean, to be fair, you sent the prep like 10 minutes ago. So it's not like, I don't know how ready you expected me to be, but I'll be ready enough. I'm curious to see what the second image, I don't want to spoil anything, is about, because there's a shocking lack of context. We'll go though.
We spent about, I don't know, good 30 to 60 hours over the last week debating the Encyclopedia Sandwiches that we'll get into shortly.
Who's the we in this?
A dry time of year, Doug.
Who is the we in this? You said we.
Oh, yeah, the guys I went to college with, we have a text.
Okay.
We talk about a variety of topics, and we talked about sandwiches for much of the weekend trying to.
All right. So I'm an arbiter of it shows a lot of the insights you and your friends had. I'm an arbiter of this discussion.
You want me to add you to?
No, I'm okay. I'm just curious.
I'm not sure.
I'm curious where my role will be. I mean, you don't know what I'm going to say yet. So I'd say my decision is binding on whatever fight you and your
Maybe
friends
I'll
are having.
Maybe I'll ask the guys to listen to this. I'll ask them to listen to this episode and get their input. But
okay.
A couple things we got to talk about, because we have a very brief show today, but we want to get something out to the listeners who were. I got a few emails over the weekend. Hey, what's going on? Why no show this week? So, you know, we've been busy, but the good news is we're doing one now. And today is the 22nd, and a month from today, it's opening day for the beloved Bull. And the good news is we're going to have a party at your house. So I want to – I noticed – I mentioned this on the last show. You didn't get a lot of feedback or a lot of outreach on it. Do they even have your email? That could be part of the reason, right, Doug? I mean, a lot of emails, people listening.
That's fine. I mean
– maybe that explains the lack of response. I don't think we gave it up.
I don't
– regardless.
I think they'd email you, Fred. You give out your email. But mine is DougTonis@gmail.com. Anyone who wants to come to Roselle in the suburbs. Hey, see, everyone just turned off now, is welcome to come to my house for the Bulls opening game.
It's always a good time. It's fantastic. You got nothing but diehards there who really understand the game. You'll get a lot of input from me, a lot of screaming. It's always a good time. So definitely try to be there. I'll be there. Doug will be there. And we'll have a great time watching a beloved Bull start a historic season. But before we get to that, we're going to play our roster game, which I sent you a roster.
You did.
Of the 82-83 Pistons filled with unfamiliar faces for me, so I can imagine how difficult it must have been for you.
I'm like, I know who Isaiah Thomas is. I have no idea who anyone else on this team is.
No, I didn't recognize anybody, to be honest. Very few besides Isaiah Thomas. And then we're going to get into the topic for the Bulls that we'll get into shortly is outside of Kobe and Josh, what are the five roster player coach questions that you're most interested in being revealed in the next, you know, a couple of weeks as we head towards the beginning of the season? We got training camp starting like a week from media day, a week from today. So it's right there. The long wait is almost over. I can't wait for Bulls basketball to start. So let's get into that. Before we get started, though, I did want to talk about the Encyclopedia Sandwiches. Is that okay? Can we take 3 minutes?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be more than
anybody
3 minutes.
Anybody who's not interested, but okay. Anyone who's not interested, just can skip forward on this. But, you know, so I found this diagram of the Encyclopedia Sandwiches that I sent over to you. And it's a detailed overview of all the sandwiches in the world.
Okay.
And I noticed number 35 was on here, which I'd like to get. This caused a little detour on the conversation, which is the bologna sandwich, B-O-L-O-G-N-A, bologna sandwich.
Okay.
I've never had a bologna sandwich in my life. Is that weird? People were kind of shocked with this news. Did you ever have bologna?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a common thing people of our age would have had as a child.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had it. I don't think it's...
All right, bizarre. Let me go through. I mean, I don't want to list all of these sandwiches, but I would say out of these sandwiches, I have had less than 25% of them, and one of them that I've had is the bologna sandwich.
I'm shocked. Like, bologna to me, do you even know what it is? I had no idea what it was.
I have no idea. It's like protein. It's a mystery meat, like probably some kind of pork-based thing. I feel like I should know, but like, I don't know. I assume it's like some kind of pork-based meat product.
All my knowledge of bologna was pretty much relegated to the Weird Al song, My Bologna. Did you ever hear that song? It's a great song.
It does sound vaguely familiar.
1979, My Bologna.
Yeah, versus My Sharona. Yeah, yeah.
My Sharona, yeah. It's an incredible song. Anybody who has not heard that song, run to YouTube, Google it, listen to it. It's one of the greatest songs ever written. So, but apparently, it has been around for – it was very popular in the United States right after the Great Depression because for, like, cheap meat. The Bologna era was 1940 to 1970. So, I mean, I'm obviously younger than that, and so are you. But, it's still popular in some states. West Virginia, believe it or not, is the number one state for Bologna or bologna consumption. That was another thing, too. How do you pronounce this? There's a G in there. What the hell is a G doing in there?
Bologna? There's a lot of weird – it's not weird Bologna. English, yeah, a lot of weird English words. I mean, let's not get – down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, we're going into a lot of things here. The sausage traces back to Bologna, Italy, pronounced Bologna. When it came to the U.S., the product was Americanized and the word stuck with a unique pronunciation, dropping the G sound. So in the U.S., Bologna is bologna.
Okay.
In fact, the slang word bologna, meaning nonsense, comes directly from the sausage. I'm going to bring back that phrase. I'm going to start using that on the show a lot. That's bologna, Doug. I'm going to start saying
that. You're going to say it like that's bologna?
That's bologna. I'm going to say it in the Americanized version, which is bologna, I think.
Okay. I thought you might want to be a traditionalist.
The global bologna market is $7.8 billion in 2024, and it's predicted to grow to $11.7 by 2032. So I don't know why I brought this up.
But I have no idea.
Day and a half on it.
There's nothing interesting. Like, it wasn't even there was an opinion. Like, you really just asked me if I'd ever had bologna. Like, I thought there was going to be at least something controversial here, but there wasn't. This was the worst segment we've ever done on the show. We've done some bad segments.
I want to know.
There's no controversy. You didn't bring anything up.
No, there is controversy. Okay. The controversy is that nobody in the text string believed that I've never had a bologna sandwich. So I'd like to know if there's anyone else out there like me who's never had a bologna sandwich, please email me.
I mean, I don't think that's weird that you've never had a bologna sandwich. Like, I could believe that. Like, I'm like mildly surprised, but like, I don't know. Like, it's like saying, like, have you ever eaten spam? Have you ever had spam?
I've never had spam.
And spam is like a similar type of thing. It's like kind of like a cheap mystery meat that was probably popular when people are watching their budgets. Yeah.
I didn't exactly grow up in the lap of luxury, but we never.
Apparently, you didn't eat bologna or spam. So, I mean. Yeah, a silver spoon.
Do you think Mark is a bologna guy? What about Mark or the goat? I bet you they both probably had it. Mark probably eats it voraciously. What do you think? He seems like a bologna guy.
I have no idea. I think they're eating Vegemite like out there. Isn't that what they do in Down Under? Oh, the Men at Work had horrific. A song about that, didn't they?
Yeah, who would eat that? If you had a choice between eating a pound of Vegemite or a pound of bologna, what would you rather have?
I mean, it'd be bologna. It'd be no question.
I agree.
We should end the segment. Either. All right. We have like 30 minutes and we spent 10 on this. So that's fantastic.
Let's move on to the other big topic. Let's look at the picture
the
of this
other
team.
Big topic. All right.
This team of the 1982-83 Pistons. This team contained, you want to name some of the figures that you're looking at there, Doug? Faces you recognize? First of all, the coach wasn't the legend.
It wasn't Chuck Daly.
Chuck, but it was some guy named, what's his name?
Scotty Robertson. I got the headshots like in front of me.
Looks like a real dope, doesn't he? He looks like a real
dope.
He
looks fine. He just looks like a normal dude from that era. Like, I don't know why you would say that.
Well, because he's a Piston, I guess. I can't stand the whole team and the associations. So Isaiah Thomas, Hall of Famer, drafted number 2 overall in 81. So he was on that team. Other notable players, Kent Benson, number 1 overall pick. What a horrible pick that was. In 1977, John Long, scoring guard, longtime cousin of Terry Tyler. I don't even know Terry Tyler. Greg Kelsler, Kelly Trepuka. And I know that. I know Kelly Trepuka. Paul Mokeski, oh my God, what a bum. He was a big player on the Bucks later. Yeah, so I don't recognize any of these guys. What do you think the record was?
Well, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a superstar. It's his second year in the league. I'm thinking Isaiah Thomas was probably a really high draft pick, like back in the day. Yes. Like, actually, I don't know if he was number 1 or overall. So
number 2 overall.
Okay, so they would have had to have been really bad 2 years ago to get the number two pick. We know Isaiah Thomas was a needle mover.
Kelly Trabuca averaged over 20 points per game that year.
So I'm gonna say this is a team, even though I don't recognize anyone, a team slightly on the rise, but still not so good. You know, we know they fired the head coach not too long afterwards. I'm going to say 33 wins.
39 and 43.
Okay, it's not too bad. I don't feel so bad about that. That's okay. Yeah, all right.
Just like the beloved Bull of last year.
Oh, Bull's tying. I love how you find these Bulls tying. Very clever. I'm going to have to use that as a way to try and make my guesses. How could this tie into the Bulls? So very, very good. All right.
Did you know who was picked ahead of in the 81 NBA draft? So Isaiah Thomas was the number two. You know who was picked ahead of him? He's got a Chicago connection.
Let me see. 81, 82.
I'll give you another hint. You want another hint? He later played for the Pistons.
He later played for the Pistons.
In the 80s. I think he went to Westinghouse, if I'm right.
You know, I don't know.
He went to DePaul.
The NBA started in DePaul. The NBA started like in 84. Everything
okay. Okay. So. Mark McGuire. Okay. Yeah. Drafted right. by the Dallas Mavericks.
That makes sense. Overall. I mean, Mark McGuire was a really good player. So I would not have known he was drafted in that year. But yeah, really, really great player.
Where did Mark McGuire go to high school? I thought it was Westinghouse. Let me look this up. Where did Mark McGuire, or maybe for Proviso? I think it was Westinghouse though. Where did Mark McGuire
go? All right, let's move on. It is Westinghouse. You're correct. I pulled up his basketball.
Westinghouse, record. I was right? I knew it. Yeah, man. Good job. I'm brilliant at this stuff. Anyhow, all right, let's get on to the topic at hand, which is the Bulls. I gave you those five points. Let me get your top, your one, and then I'll give you mine, and then we'll move on. Like, you know, what's really captivating, it's not necessarily like what's most important in terms of wins or losses. I just kind of want to, you know, set the context here. I'm just trying to get, like, out of you, what are you most interested in outside of what everybody is, which is, you know, around Josh Giddey and Kobe White taking that another step.
Well, I mean, the obvious choice is whatever Matas Puzelis does, right? Like, that's actually maybe the most interesting thing.
Yeah, that's, I forgot.
I mean, did I lose you? I mean, because like Kobe White's been in the league with 6 years. Like, I don't know that there's that much interesting that I'm going to learn about Kobe White this next year. And he has a fair chance of just being gone after that, right? Like, we can't extend him. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He'll probably command a lot of money. Like, there's a reasonable chance Kobe White's not here starting next season. So I'm not really that interested in Kobe White at all. I know you are because you think he's going to be a future MVP and all, but
all-star. I'm not an MVP. I didn't say that. I think, yep. Again, I pointed out the player of the month award and the predictive.
I gotcha. You're really excited about Kobe White. I'm not that excited about Kobe White.
That's all fair. Yeah, that's fine. So. But you know, are you aware of what happened with Fred VanVleet today? Did you hear it in the news?
No, what happened with Fred VanVleet?
He tore his ACL. He's out for the season Houston. So
it's a bummer for Houston.
Yeah, you think? I'd just like to point out, if things go very south for the beloved Bull this year and they start out horrible, I think that's a team where he could come in and fit very well with the Houston Rockets and play a similar role as basically a combo guard. I mean, Fred VanVleet was essentially like a shooter, you know, kind of like a – he wasn't really a
– yeah. Yeah, I think Kobe White is a really good comparison to VanVleet in a lot of ways. I mean, VanVleet maybe had a little bit better reputation as a defender, whether fair or unfair. But I'm not sure that reputation extends to today.
Yeah, and I know they have a lot of restrictions. Everybody will point this out, you know, because they're really close to the apron, either one or both of the aprons. I don't know where they're at there, but Kobe does have a contract that's probably more conducive than others in order to get something done. So we'll see what happens, but I don't want the Bulls to trade Kobe White. I think Kobe White's the best player on the team. I think he's a leader. I think he's going to be the engine behind this turnaround, which starts this year when they win 46 games. But you think it's Modest. Okay, that's a good call. I mean, me personally, I'm not that excited about it because I don't expect Modest to have like a great – I think a lot of people are expecting him to have an incredible year. It's unfair to put it on a 20-year-old that he's going to take a step. I think he's going to be better than he was last year, but I don't expect him to be like anywhere near an all-star status. All I want to see from him is a little bit more growth, a little bit more consistency, improve the jumper. You know, so it's not – to me, I'm not like – I can see why you might say that, why a lot of other people would be like really excited about to see where he ends up. I just don't – I'm not expecting that much. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I mean, this is what he averaged last year. 19 minutes a game. I'm rounding. 8.6 points. 3.5 rebounds, 1 assist. If you got him up to say 30 minutes or 25 minutes or 28 minutes and he averaged like 15 a game, I don't know that that's like so crazy based on a little bit of improvement and just playing more, right? Like just playing more minutes, right? Like most of that is going to come from just more minutes, not from being dramatically better. That would be maybe more interesting than like, what do you think? I mean, Coby White, like you'd be thrilled if he just matches what he did the last 2 years. Like, what do you think? You think Coby White's going to like average 30 this year? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why you think that's more interesting.
Well, he averaged 27 in the month of March. I think he's going to average 22 to 25 points per game. That's what I want to see him at. I think.
Okay. So if Matas grows to 15 points, he'll average 7 more points and like nearly doubling his output. And if Coby averages 22 points, he'll average 2 more points. And that.
Well, it's a lot easier to double. Doug, come on. It's a lot easier for Modest to double his output than it would be for Coby White.
Sure, he'd be averaging 40 for Coby, points. I'm not asking Coby to double. I'm saying you're thinking it's more interesting if Coby adds 2 points a game.
Yeah.
Like you think that's super interesting. If he goes from 20 to 22. Well, if he becomes an all-star, that's different. But I think that's equally unrealistic, even more unrealistic than expecting Modest Bozelas to have a step forward.
Let me try to simplify this. Let me just ask you this. This upcoming season, talking about this upcoming season, and I told you that there is a player who's going to make an all-star game. I'm going to go to the future, and I see a Bull made the all-star team. And that Bull is either – and I'm just going to tell you that information. You tell me, who do you think is most likely to make the all-star team on the current roster?
Josh Giddey. Okay. Josh Giddey.
All right, well, that's fair enough. You can throw out Josh. I think it's Coby White. I'm just saying the odds of who's going to make the all-star team, I think Vegas would probably tell you it's Coby White. Right, that's my point.
I think Vegas would tell you it's Josh Giddey, but regardless of that, like Coby White averaged 20 points a game last year, like, and Modest averaged 8. Like the gap between Modest making an all-star game and Coby making an all-star game is pretty mammoth, right? Like, so
yeah,
Modest doesn't need to make an all-star game to have the same type of improvement as like Coby would if he made the all-star game.
Okay.
Like, is it? Like, yeah, I mean, like, point. It's like, I mean, it's like that's a totally unfair type of comparison. I'm not saying Modest is gonna have better statistics than Coby White. I'm saying he can take a pretty huge step forward and still have worse statistics than Coby White had last year because he's starting from 8 points a game. Yeah, you're right. It's easier that for him to jump up. Like, I agree with what you're saying, but that is also more interesting for him to make that leap. Like, what if he doesn't? Like, Patrick Williams started at like 12 points a game as a rookie. And everyone's like, oh, wait till next
10.
Year.
He was at
and
10.
Then whatever it was, yeah. Right? And like 4 years later, he's the exact same player. So like we still, so like, I mean, it's, you shouldn't just take for granted the fact that he did this thing as a rookie. And now it's just going to just be this ever growing path upwards, right? Like we've seen the last guy we were excited about do absolutely nothing new in 4 years. So I want to see Modest do something new. I'm not expecting that something new to be an all-star appearance. But I would like to see growth.
You know what the number that really sticks with me about Modest last year? He finished, he finished in the top 10 in rookie of the year voting. You know where he finished?
I don't know, like 6th, 7th, 8th?
7.
Okay.
You know what that means, right? All right, let's go on. Let's go on. See, it's all part of this.
It means it's going to be super disappointing in a couple of years. That's what it means.
Doug, all right. So wait, I do want to really quick. First of all, Modest played 80 games last year. He started 31. 18 minutes per game. He shot 45, 36, 81. Very good. And he averaged 8.6 points. Like, give me, what do you think he's going to do this year? What do you think he'll put up?
It's hard to say because it's all based on the minutes, right?
25 minutes. He's probably going to average 25 to 28 minutes, maybe even more. Let's say he averages 30.
I mean, if he averages 30, I think he'll average like 15 points a game. And like, maybe 6-7 rebounds, a couple assists.
Dude, I'd be thrilled with that. He averaged 3.5 rebounds, 1 assist. I mean, I would be thrilled if he puts up.
Yeah, but if you double those numbers, it's basically what I said. And like 30 is close to doubling his minutes. If you, like, I guess it's not going to average 18 minutes. So I am giving him a higher rate too. But like, I think if he averaged 30 minutes, I think he could maybe get to 15 points a game. That, I mean, that I would show some considerable improvement over his current rate adjusted numbers.
I think he's going to improve, but I think it's going to be 12-5-2. 12 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 2 points, 2 assists per game, which is fine.
I think that's probably true, but I think that's also because I don't think he's going to get to 30 minutes. Like, so I think you're right, but I think that's you're going to be right because he plays like 25 minutes, and that's going to be like what accounts for 25 minutes. Can I throw this out to you? I just pulled up Modest's splits just for the hell of it.
Sure.
In games he played between 30 and 39 minutes, he averaged 32.8 points or minutes per game. So in that range, if he played over 30, he averaged 32.8. 18 points, 6.1 rebounds, 2.4 assists. So
wait, what are you saying? Last year,
he had 10 games where he played between 30 and 39 minutes.
Okay.
In those 10 games, he averaged 18 points, 6.1 rebounds, 2.4 assists, and he averaged 32.8 minutes. So if he was able to get to 30 minutes, the numbers I just gave you would be about what he averaged in those games last year when he reached that threshold. Now, when you reach that threshold, it's probably because you're playing really well, right? Like if you don't normally play that many minutes. So it makes sense that those numbers would be inflated. So probably would be a little bit below that if he's playing that many minutes all the time. But I just to show, like, it's not entirely crazy from a realistic perspective. You know, like a lot of, if he's able to earn that many minutes, it's probably because he's doing really well on the team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people cannot take from that and run out and tell their friends that, hey, it's Billy's fault. If he would have been playing him 30 to 39 minutes, he would have averaged 18, you know. No, that's not how it works. He was given those minutes because he was playing well in those games and performed to a level that allowed a longer leash, you know. But regardless, many games he was very poor in the defensive end, especially to start off the season, and that's why he played less. And so, you know, I think the numbers I threw out there, that 12-5-2, I think that's a great improvement, you know, 30 minutes per game. If we see that, that's where I'm kind of expecting it. Put a ribbon on this one, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope he plays more and he does a lot better, but I do think it's unfair. The expectations on this kid are just kind of crazy to me for a guy who's just still, what, 20 years old. So,
yeah. Anyhow. I don't have super high expectations, but it's the most interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, for me, like that's the most interesting thing to watch. So that's yours. Mine is more, I want to see what Billy does with the starting lineup.
Dude, that's not your most interesting thing. It's not. You want me to tell you what your most interesting thing is? Interesting thing to watch, yeah. Yeah, you don't even know yourself like I know you.
Well, no, I do know Kobe's my most interesting thing.
No, you're still wrong. You're still wrong.
Go ahead.
Your most interesting thing is Isaac Okoro.
Wait, I mean, that's get out part of here. Of this.
No, okay, it's the most interesting thing. All you're going to do is watch Isaac Okoro. Every time Isaac Okoro has a great game, you're going to be all over Twitter with it. It's going to be like crazy. And every time he has a bad game, I'm not going to hear a word from you. Or there's going to be something about like how he impacted the defense, even though he shot like 0 for 30 or whatever. Like, but look at this one play. And you're going to like rip on Billy Donovan for like not coaching him upright or like putting him in the wrong spot, or it's like Josh Giddey's fault for not passing him. Like, that's what this whole season is going to be for you. It's going to just be like one giant stream of Isaac Okoro consciousness.
Maybe you might be right on that, Doug. Somebody brought this up to me the other day. And they're like, you know what? If Isaac Okoro ends up being awesome, you're going to be like known as like a guru. And if
yeah,
he
your
sucks,
profit
you're gonna
status
be
will go
jacket.
Through the roof. Yeah, if Isaac Okoro is great, your profit status is going to go through the roof. I mean, the problem for you is you're now betting your entire reputation on Isaac Okoro. And man, you know what? This reminds me, this is a totally weird analogy. On Real GM, in basketball forum, I post in a lot. The year the Bulls were drafted Derrick Rose, but prior to the lottery, there was a guy in the forum who made a like resignation bet with someone that the Bulls would win the number one pick in the draft. So before they did it, they had like a 1.8% chance, and he bet a Knicks fan, if the Bulls don't win the number one pick, I will leave forever, and if they do, you have to leave forever.
Oh, my God.
And he won it, right? Like, so the Bulls win, which is just insane. Like, it's just insane. This is you with Isaac Okoro. Like, your odds are low, but if you're correct, like, the rewards for being correct, I feel, are just, like, insane. We should be cheering your greatness, like... Like everyone should like be bowing down before you because no one believes it except for you. So like,
I've done my best to bring up every possible point as to why I think he's going to do well. It'll probably end up somewhere in the middle. I think
you've turned me a little bit into like an Okoro fan. I think you're more right than people will give you credit for. Like, I don't maybe fully believe everything is going to be so great. And I don't think you do either, really. But I think you've correctly pointed out, like, the dude who's great in transition. We have a point guard that's going to be doing a lot in transition. Okoro can do well there. We really need his defense. He's a really good defender. Like, there's a lot he's going to be able to contribute to this team. I would not be surprised at all at the end of the year if he's one of those, like, plus minus, like, media darlings where it's just like, yeah, when he's on the floor, the Bulls tend to do well because a lot of what he does is going to fit in well with a lot of.
Well, I guarantee you this. If he's got a very good plus minus, I'm going to throw that plus minus over to you every day.
I'm going to respond with my song.
I know how every much day, you care every about
time,
that stat.
Every time. I'm just going to play the song back at you.
All right. Well, that's what I was pointing out. Like, hey, listen, my credibility is going to take a pretty freaking big hit if Kevin Herter starting over Isaac Okoro. I think that'd be a devastating.
I don't think so. I think then Okoro might be like great, like on the bench then. And then you're going to be just railing on Billy for not starting him. Like, you're so dumb. Why are we not starting this guy? We kick ass when he's in the lineup. Like, so I don't think it matters whether he starts. I think it just matters how well the Bulls do when he plays. Like, if they do really well when he plays, then I think the case is going to be made that you're correct and that we should play him more.
I just think Billy is so smart. I just can't believe Billy would look at this team and say, you know what we need? We need another shooter. Like, to me, like, the bigger deficiency on this team is a point of attack defender on the perimeter. And he is so far ahead of everyone else on this team, with the potential exception of Io.
Yeah, it's hard because we need everything. Like, we also do need another shooter. Like, neither one of these things are wrong. Like, we do need another really great shooter in the starting lineup and a point of attack defender. So, like, you could make the case either way. I mean, I think that's why it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Like, I don't think either one of those thoughts is wrong, that you need the shooting or that you need the defense. Like, you need both, and that's part of the problem the Bulls are facing. But, we'll see what they end up doing.
Well, unfortunately, I only got time for one more. Give a real quick one. Can we cut this to 2.5 minutes? Because I can.
I'll be super fast.
Go ahead.
Oh, I have to give another answer. I don't have any answer. All I care about is Matas. I mean, Noah Essanga is probably like.
How about Patrick Williams? Like, I think Patrick Williams.
I have no interest. That dude sucks balls. Just get him off the team. Wave him.
You don't.
I mean, I think I do think he. I do believe it. I think he sucks. I think he's sucked for a long time. But I do think he'll. I think he'll be better. I think fan outrage has gotten even worse than his ability.
Yes.
Maybe I'll say that's totally fair. I think he had the foot injury all last year. If he could actually be healthy and if he could get in shape, then maybe. But I have so little faith in his ability to do anything that like I think he has all the stuff he needs. I can't answer this in 2.5 minutes. Save it for the next show. I have a thought for you. Remember this. How Josh Giddey convinced me that Patrick Williams sucks. Way worse than I thought.
Okay, I got to see this. Yeah, this sounds. Yeah,
there's a longer right. analogy there, but like I can't get into it before you got to go. So that's next show.
I'm gonna just piggyback on this. We're gonna do this in the next show. But to me, it's two players: Io and Patrick Williams. Obviously, Io is a much better player, and for different reasons. But I do think it's kind of a key year for both of these players to see. Hey, they had disappointing years last year. How are they gonna rebound? You know, that's a big interest because if both those players are really good, Doug suddenly just becomes like a pretty deep team. You know, like, I mean, they have a lot of good players that are deep that you can kind of take the Pacers model. Obviously not as good, but
agreed.
Be a key driver towards 46 wins.
Agreed. And Io has never like quite his impact has never lived up to the eye test. Like, I always feel like he should be so much better than he has been in reality. Like, all the pieces are there, but they have Io. No, Patrick, I just think the eye test sucks. I never, like, I watch him and I'm like, he's a terrible basketball player. Like, Io, I watch and I'm like, he's a good basketball player, but then, like, his plus minus is always terrible. Like there's all these other things. Like, when I watch him, I'm like, I feel like you're good, but then it's like, it just doesn't seem to be working and I don't understand why. When I watch Patrick Williams, I'm like, I understand exactly why this isn't working.
I agree 100%. The advanced analytics on Io have never been good and I can't figure out why. Because I agree with you.
Maybe those stats are bad. Those stats aren't always that good. Like, but it hasn't worked out for him on the court. Like, they've not played well in his minutes generally. And I don't know. I don't know why that is, but like, so it's a big year for him too. Like, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I think that's a good one to watch as well.
All right, buddy. And on that note, we're going to bring in the BRB. This is a short half an hour episode, but we got a lot more to talk about next
week. At least we got 10 minutes of baloney talk in there. So that's good.
That's good. I hope everybody email me at credfred@gmail.com if you want to go to Doug's party, and we'll bring some bologna sandwiches. Enjoy the first game.
We will not have bologna sandwiches. We will have great alcohol.
On that note, go Bulls.
Go Bulls.
Take it easy, brother.
All right, see you, Fred.
Bye.